basis can rid your home of many insects, too, by the way. with the spring season coming up, we might be able to get rid of any kind of insects or rodents around the house, too. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Coming up on 8:16 here. 4 below and 18 below on the wind chill. What else can I do for you?
Yeah, no, I think you've done quite enough there with those two things.
Thanks.
We're going to talk about type 1 diabetes this morning. It can be scary, but it can be managed effectively. Dr. Jean Norris is with us. She found this out 25 years ago when she was diagnosed with this devastating disease. She wrote down, put together a bunch of inspirational stories from people who live with this and thrive with this. It's called No Sugar Added, Straight Talk from Those Living with Diabetes. Dr. Norris, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Great. Thanks for having me.
It's great to talk with you about this. And the numbers, you know, they can't lie here. And more Americans, more and more people worldwide are being affected by type 1 diabetes. The numbers are growing, aren't they?
Absolutely. I think it's as many as 3 million people have type 1 diabetes right now. And the percentages, I think the rate of type 1 diabetes incidence among children under the age of 14 is estimated to increase by 3% annually. So it is something, you know, I think it's 80 people per day are actually diagnosed with type 1.
Dr. Jean, does this have something to do with the rate of obesity going on in the country? I mean, I'm sure there's a tie-in somewhere.
Well, you know, that's interesting because actually there is a big difference between type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And type 1 diabetes actually has nothing to do with diet. It's one of those perceptions of the disease that, you know, oftentimes people have to deal with. The biggest difference between type 1 and type 2 is type 1 diabetes, they do not produce insulin. Their body just simply stops making it. It's an autoimmune attack on the body, and insulin is needed for survival. And type 2 diabetes is different in that the body still has insulin, it's just not using it well. And in those cases, diet and exercise can be really useful.
Now, Dr. Jean, this is something again. It's basically everybody listening to this can relate, because everybody listening to this, because of the numbers, somebody either is affected by this or a family member is affected by this. This is something that touches everybody. Back 25 years ago, when you found out, tell us your story. When you found out, maybe it wasn't as prevalent.
Yeah, absolutely. I know for myself, I had no idea about the disease because nobody in my family had it. But when I was diagnosed, I was 21, which is sort of an odd age to get diabetes to begin with. And I sort of went into denial, which I think a lot of people do when they're told that they have a disease. And I actually, strange enough, I kind of thought it was cool at first because I was eating all kinds of food and losing tons of weight. And you know, at the age of 21, that's not so bad. however, the big problem was that I felt awful. I was urinating all the time, constantly thirsty. It got to the point I couldn't even pick my head up off the pillow in the morning. So then I knew for sure that I really had this and I needed to do something to take care of myself.
So what drew you to decide to get this book together, get this project going, to find out about other people that were suffering from type 1 diabetes?
So similar to what you just said, it was like, you know, I didn't know a lot. I didn't have a lot of information. And it was actually my husband who encouraged me to get involved with the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And when I did that, I started to learn about the research. And I got to talk to all kinds of people who were dealing with type 1 diabetes in all kinds of, you know, avenues of life and all kinds of episodes. And it's one of those tips and tricks that they were using. And I thought, wouldn't this be cool if we could capture all these great stories and tips and put them into a book for the rest of the world to learn from?
And some amazing stories, you know, talking with people. I mean, talk about some of these inspirational stories. So many of them put together here. But, I mean, were you surprised by the outpouring?
Oh, absolutely. We got so many submissions of, you know, just people who knew people who knew people. And we basically said we want to know how you're managing the disease or tips that you would have for other people. And, you know, things from people who've, you know, climbed Mount Everest, who run marathons, you know, who've been very, very successful in their lives, and just showing people that this disease does not have to stop you in any way at all. And I think that was a big inspiration for a lot of people.
Well, it doesn't even have to slow you down, you know, as evidenced in your case and your son, Michael.
Well, that's a great point, because I've often said, you know, and my son, we were recently talking about this, that I think sometimes when you have a disease such as this, you make a choice at some point, and you go, you know what, I'm either going to let this control me, or I'm going to control it.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to be a common theme as he was interviewing people for the book and you know, collecting this information, is they said, you know what, I'm going to live my life. And in fact, I think a lot of these people have gone on to do amazing, amazing things that perhaps they wouldn't have otherwise.
So if people are listening to this, doctor, and they're hearing and they're saying, you know, that's me, I was just recently diagnosed, or someone I know was just recently diagnosed, I mean, what kinds of tips would you say? I mean, what kinds of, you know, tips to support, to manage this? I mean, right out of the chute. I mean, obviously, when you hear news like this, regardless of the fact that you know, and a lot of us know now that, yes, you can manage this. I mean, anytime you hear something like this about yourself or about a loved one, I mean, it's obviously you feel disappointment, you feel fear. Where do you go? Where's your first step?
Yeah, great question. First thing I'd say is get an amazing doctor. It's, yeah, an endocrinologist can be your best friend. And I, in fact, I've had mine for probably 15 years. And, you know, just a partner in helping you manage the disease and helping introduce you to all of the technology that's out there to help manage it as well. I know for myself when I met my doctor, she said, are you ready to come into this century? Because I had no idea that the way I was managing my diabetes was so antiquated. But there's continuous glucose monitors and insulin pumps and glucose meters and things that didn't even exist that long ago. So that would be my first piece of advice, is find a great, great doctor.
And this is something that, I mean, as we talked about here, this is something that you... It's constantly, you know, it's constantly a part of you. I mean, it's you need this is constantly got to be monitored. This is constantly a part of you now when you're diagnosed with this. But as you mentioned, too, you know, just because of that, it doesn't have to slow you down. I mean, what are we looking at in the future? I mean, what kinds of things have you seen as far as, you know, breakthroughs, or what kinds of things are being worked on right now? I mean, will there ever be a cure for type 1 diabetes?
You know, that's interesting. I was actually honored to be nominated to an international committee through JDRF, formerly known as the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And on this committee, we're talking about these very same things and introduced to the latest and greatest technology and other research that's happening. And some of the exciting things, number one, is the artificial pancreas. And it sounds like it's a mechanism that gets, you know, inserted into the body. But it actually is using some of the technology that's already available and getting them to work together better. So there's actually trials that are happening right now outside the hospital setting. So very exciting to see that technology can be part of the solution, at least something to help us manage the disease well until the cure comes. Another thing is smart insulins are something that's also being researched. And JDRF is one of the top funders of a lot of the research that's out there. And smart insulin is something that, you know, basically you inject yourself once a day, and it actually will read your highs and your lows to adjust. You know, there's also beta cell encapsulation, which sounds really scientific, but it's because type 1 is about the cells attacking themselves. It's about, you know, reinserting those cells and protecting those cells so that they can start to work again, you know, just like it was prior to having diabetes. So lots of exciting things happening.
Dr. Jean, what are some of the warning signs of type 1 diabetes if people think they may have this? What are some things to look for?
I think the most common that people show are really the extreme thirst, It could be blurred vision, urinating a lot. It also is a common symptom that people have changes in terms of their personality. They could become angry or not like themselves in a lot of ways, and that could be an indication of really, you know, high blood sugar levels.
Now, if people want to get a hold of this book, and they should, because the great thing about this is the proceeds go to help out JDRF for this book. People want to get a hold of the book. Where can they find it?
It's at nosugaradded.org. And you're right. I mean, all of the proceeds actually go directly to JDRF and research. So we hope that people, you know, join us and buy the book. And there's actually a custom option where they can also insert their own story and their own photo at the in the hero section of the book for their own person who's inspired them or someone who supported them in their life, too.
And you have a big event coming up in Chicago in May, right?
We do. On May 9th, we actually are proud to have Robert Morris University is actually sponsoring us to have an event, and it's all about looking at diabetes from different perspectives, the psychological angle, the medical research, and best practices in taking, you know, the best care of yourself. So we have some wonderful speakers. You know, Robert Morris's jazz band's going to be there. We're going to be, you know, celebrating the spirit of a lot of the stories that are in the book, and hopefully people will join us to, you know, at that event on May 9th.
Go to nosugaradded.org for more information. Gene, it's been great talking with you. Thank you so much for being with us and for putting this book out there and sharing these stories. It means so much to so many.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Dr. Gene Norris with us this morning. And again, that book, No Sugar Added, Straight Talk from Those Living with Diabetes. You can go to their website, nosugaradded.org. And the best thing about this book is that you get it online, and all the proceeds are going right into the JDRF and to help find a cure for this stuff.